The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports.
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 So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Well, and poker, and the Rona, and acting, and all kinds of other stuff. Let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. Nick Sciarra, so good we don't really have a nickname for him. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at the producer Nick. You can also text the show, 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday where everybody's usually in a bad mood, but screw that. I mean, it's no different than Monday or Wednesday or any other day right now, so let's make some fun out of it.
It's
what's going on, boys?
It's all the same. What'd you guys think about that Monday Night Football last night, huh?
Oh, I thought that Aaron Rodgers was terrible, eh? Oh.
Yeah. Good times. Yeah, it is kind of funny how Tuesday, Thursday, the only day that really matters to me is Monday, because that's when I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to do a show at the end of the day today. And then Friday, which means I've got 2 days in a row where I don't have to do anything. So that's basically the only thing separating things. But we did have to make a calendar in the kitchen to remind my son of what day the recycling comes. So that way, you know, because we can't really afford to miss a day right now of recycling.
Right.
Because you're throwing away so much stuff. It, like, basically every bit of packaging that comes in is immediately getting tossed out, and then we're like sanitizing everything that comes into the house. We've got like a little station set up in the garage to do all that stuff, and so we're using up a lot of, or throwing out a bunch of cardboard and plastic and stuff like that. So got to make sure the recycling gets out on time. Other than that, you're right, every day is exactly the same.
Yeah, today is one of our trash pickup days, and I didn't realize it. And, of course, same thing, the trash is getting really full, too. And I heard the truck coming in the gate, and I'm the first one that they go to. So, basically, I'm, like, flying down the stairs with this trash and then throw it in the trash bin and realize that I'm in my underwear.
Yeah!
Fortunately, nobody saw it or cared. But
not even the trash men?
No, because they were at the back of the truck, so.
Damn.
Yeah, they were like boxer briefs, so they kind of looked like shorts.
No one would
really notice, and no one would look at me for that anyway. So
right, they would notice your pierced nipples first.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the first thing everybody notices about you.
So I got some poker news for you.
Okay.
Well, two things. First off, last night I decided at 8:09 I'm going to jump in and play the tournament.
Okay.
And
I played the neuter today.
How'd you do?
I finished fifth.
It's not bad.
Eh. Doesn't pay.
So, yeah, I decided I'm going to
play the same as 20th.
Well, yeah, but, you know. Oh, you played the money tournament.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I played the free one last night, and it's like I jumped in at 8:09 with 1 minute to go in the late entry and just decided, you know what? I'm not drinking tonight. I'm just going to play this like I would a real tournament and see how I do. Finish second.
Nice.
So, and the play was really good. I mean, and it was cool because, like, you know, we don't get a lot of experience 3-4-5 handed. So it was kind of cool to do that. And then heads up. And when we got the heads up, I was like, he had like a 3-1 chip advantage. And 12 Golf was his name. He played really well. And I kind of chipped away and got it all in, which would have gotten me a chip lead and I would have been in good shape. But I got it in ace queen against king two, and you got the two on the river, so well.
Yeah,
that's all right. I mean,
I won a free roll over the weekend, and then the play was really good in that. And then I've played a couple of these paid tournaments, and play not as good in the paid tournaments as the free rolls. So there's a lot of you've you, it's almost like playing a free. I mean, you're playing for like $10 or something, so it might as well be a free roll. But people will play any two cards basically, and that's something that I'm just not used to. So you just got to adjust. I've got to adjust. So, but that's been my issue is there's a lot of ultra aggressive pre-flop play with very middling cards. Like people are looking at Jack 10 suited as basically pocket aces.
Well, we have finalized the charity poker tournament on Saturday. It'll be a $60 tournament, and all the information's on Sports Map at 5 o'clock. We'll go over all of it, but Courtney, who works with us, and Jerry Bowe, we've been putting a lot of work in this to get it set up, and it's going to be really cool. Working on a couple of potential poker celebrities to play with us. So if you're interested in that, all the information is on sportsmap.com right now. You can go check it out. But we'll go over it at 5 o'clock, and we've got a couple of great charities that we're going to raise money for. And if you want to play, all I ask is you sign up as soon as possible. We're going to cut the sign-offs. We're going to cut the sign-ups off at noon on Saturday. The tournament starts at 2, so that we can, you know, make sure everybody who's paid is in, and people who haven't paid don't get in. And it's gonna. So if you wait till the last minute, if it gets as big as I'm afraid it might get, then we're going to be really overwhelmed. So if everybody could just sign up sometime before Saturday, that would be awesome.
All right.
So some. We've got
you're gonna play
Matty
on
Rauch.
Poker Stars?
Yeah, we're playing on Poker Stars.
Okay.
So I'm getting that thing where AJ's cutting out again. I think, and I've got this thing turned up as high as it'll go. So I'm going to drop and get right back on so okay. I can see if I can hear you.
All right. Well, go ahead and do that. I'll tell the people that we've got Matt Rauch today. You may know him as Burton from Banshee. He was a regular guest on our show back in the days when Banshee was running live. And we haven't had him. I guess the last time we had him on was the series finale. So it's been quite a while. So it'll be good to catch up with him, see what he's been up to, what he's up to now. He's based in New York, which is obviously at least the American epicenter of this coronavirus. And I'm curious to see what life is like there for that guy, and what life is like just every day in New York right now, because obviously, it's not. It's atypical. So
yeah, I've been talking with him a little bit, and he's just like the rest of us. I mean, he's on lockdown and he can't work. And there's a lot of actors in the same boat. Really good actors that give us a lot of joy that are in as bad a shape as everybody else right now because we can't. He was doing a lot of theater, and that closed down fast. So
right.
Yeah, so we'll talk to him.
Yeah, what time is that going to be at?
That's at 4:30. Jerome is scheduled to join us at 5:30. You know, we never know, but he's been pretty good lately. And Lance is supposed to join us at 6.
All right.
So plenty of good stuff today.
Busy day. Busy beavers, yeah. The two of us.
Well, I'm excited about this poker tournament. We'll, you know, we're going to talk about it, like I said, at 5 o'clock. I'll go through over all the details for you. And if it goes as well as I think it will, we will do another one next week, and we'll just keep doing them until we're all back to being able to do real things on a Saturday.
Do we have a list of where the proceeds are going?
We do. We do.
Okay.
Kids Meals here in Houston is one of them. And, you know, we wanted to make sure that not just Houston, but we've got such a huge following over in the Golden Triangle. We wanted to make sure that we had a charity over there as well that was worthy. So Courtney has us set up with Kids Meals Houston and the Southeast Texas Food Bank, which is based in Beaumont, and they take care of people in Jefferson, Orange, Hardin, Jasper, Newton, all over there, all our friends over there as well. So we're going to split the money that way, and hopefully we raise a good chunk of change for them. And so that's the plan. Those are the two charities that the money's going to go to. All right, guys, we're going to take a very quick break. Please don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Ain't no mercy.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're all making it and doing okay as we continue to go through this quarantine. And you know what's kind of weird, AJ? I know a couple of times that I've driven around town, it's just really dead. But my street, I even thought about, you know, it'd be fun to sit outside on the balcony one day and do the show when the weather's nice. But it's just like a normal day. I mean, and this morning I saw, you know, because there's a couple of bus routes that go by there. And it is kind of a way that people get from south and east into downtown. But there's so much traffic out there. I'm like, guys, what are you doing? And I saw a bus completely full of people. I'm like, that cannot be good.
Why are the buses running?
Well, there's people got to get to work, and it's low-income people for the most part. So I get that. But, man, you know, and I know they're – I think they're running fewer. I may be wrong about that, which is why I guess this one was so full this morning when it went by. And I'm like, oh, my God, that cannot be healthy for anybody.
Yeah, that's not good. Well, no wonder they say that these next 2 weeks are going to be about as bad as it gets.
Well, and I, you know, I just hope we get past. I hope people keep being smart because a lot of people are doing the right things. Like I went out to get try to find some bread today, and you know, I have a mask now, and everybody's wearing their masks and stuff, and staying as far away from each other as possible. So that's all good. Hopefully, people will keep doing that because the more we do it, the sooner we're going to get through all this and get back to sports. And sorry, baseball, it's not going to be May. I know you guys floated that today to get people excited, and but there's you know, talk about playing with no fans in Arizona, and that's all fine and dandy until you think about how many people you actually need to do a baseball game, not just players and managers, but you know, I get that they're trying to come up with contingency plans for everything, but you know that thing that about it starting in May with no fans just kind of. It kind of blew up today, and it's like, that's probably like a 1%. I know it's not What Are the Odds Wednesday.
Right, it's pretty low.
Yeah, I mean, and it's just because all it takes is one of these guys to be like that soccer player and bring in hookers, and, you know, I mean, guys aren't going to stay on quarantine while they're playing. Just impossible.
Yeah. That's and they're talking about like being away from their family for 4.5 months. It's just seems highly unlikely.
Yeah, and you know I know they're all hoping for the best, and all these leagues they're hoping that they can get something. And you know NBA same thing, NHL same thing, and get finished. But I mean, realistically, I mean I think we're looking at probably June before there's any possibility of trying to do this stuff. And even we just nobody knows. I mean, we don't know if this thing's going to hang around or if it's going to slow down or what. But I think May is really, really overly ambitious. And, you know, I know that's been a big topic today. I'm just kind of like, why?
Well, and the last thing we want is for us to for everybody to be like, oh, yeah, it's all good. Everybody's safe now. And then everybody starts going back in public. And then there's like a second, you know, flare up of these things. I don't want that.
Yeah, we don't need a second wave, and we may already be in the second wave because this thing has probably been here longer than we knew.
And, could be.
You know, so at least now, if we can get it under control, we can all get back to our lives at some point. Which, you know, I'm ready to do. I was ready to do yesterday, but you know, I mean, it does it not feel like just one long ass day to you?
It does. It really does.
It's weird. Nick, how are you holding up, man?
I mean, I'm managing. I can't go anywhere just like anybody else. So I just, I've exhausted all content on Netflix. So I've got to find something to do.
You're all the way out of Netflix? You've watched the entire Netflix?
No, I mean, just in terms of what I want to watch, like what gotcha. I'm interested in, you know?
I finished Ozark today. I finished season 3.
Yeah, your thoughts?
I liked the ending. I thought it was strong. I didn't know where it was going, but I thought it was a strong ending.
Yeah, that's why I've been really reluctant to talk to you about it, because I thought the season as a whole was better than last year, not as good as season one, but I thought the way it ended was terrific.
And yeah, and it sets up perfectly. Obviously, next season is – I don't know if it'll be the last season, but it seems like the big – there's still plenty of meat on the bone. I mean, there's the FBI stuff. There's the stuff with Darlene. There's stuff with the with the Kansas City mob. There's just a lot of stuff left that can still be done. You know, the scene, I guess the what they call the penultimate episode where Wendy and her brother have their last scene. Dude, that's strong stuff. So it was really good. I thought it was really good television. Again, I don't think it was as good as the first season. I think that first season was damn near a perfect season of television. But it was better than last season, which was a little bit disappointing. And probably it was going to be hard to live up to that first season no matter what they did in the second season. But I thought this was an improvement on that. And yeah, I'm ready for season four now.
Yeah, I'll watch it. I mean, I still – my biggest problem with the show is there's just nobody there to root for.
See, I think there was a turn this season where Ruth is a likable character now. And I'm starting to come around on I'm starting to come around on Marty, for one. He's more likable than he was in the first couple seasons. Like there was a scene where he looked at the FBI agent, that Maya, and said – it's going to cost you your career, but hey, you'll be right. And I was like, oh, that's such a great line. And yeah. So he's grown on me. And honestly, I'm kind of interested in the cartel boss now. He's more interesting than he was in the past. So I don't like Darlene, even though what she did was pretty awesome. And that scene was rough. I've found a few characters here and there that I like.
Yeah, I think I don't find Ruth likable. I find her less unlikable than everybody else. And I love Jason Bateman as an actor. So, you know, but his character is just, I mean, the acting's good, but you know me, I just have to have a rooting interest. And you know, that's why it'd be fun talking to Maddie, because all those characters, despite their flaws and some of them being just downright evil, you rooted for them. You liked them. But you know, the one thing about Ozark, it kind of worries me about the boys, because like you said, that first season was damn near perfect. And that's kind of how I felt about the boys. And I really wonder if they're going to be able to keep that going, because you know, when you come out firing like that, usually if a season's really that good, it's hard to keep it going.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what they do to follow it up. But I felt after season two last year, I was like, maybe it's not as great of a show as I thought. But I'm back in on it. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I'm not all the way back in, but I'll definitely watch season four because the ending was so good. Did you watch Better Call Saul last night?
No, I don't have TV anymore.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the one thing I regret about cutting the cord. It's the only thing really that I've missed, because. Like, we have, like, on our Roku device, we've got, like, HBO, you know, all the Stars, all that stuff we still have. We don't have an app for AMC, so I haven't watched Better Call Saul in, like, 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, that's one of the reasons I'm holding off on doing that, because there's about 3 shows that I can't get on the apps yet.
Yeah.
And that's one of them. So,
Better Call Saul comes out, but it doesn't come out until after the season ends.
Yeah, yeah. And
then, so I'm a big loser. I'm behind the times.
I'm curious for other people who are watching it, maybe text the show if they think it's disappointing, because I've kind of found it to be a little bit disappointing this year.
Okay.
It seems to have slowed down, and they're doing a lot more of the artsy stuff, and. You know, they're not really getting the most out of what is a fantastic collection of characters. But I'd be curious if anybody else thought that. Maybe it's just me. And part of it is I've watched so much damn TV now that it's like, you really got to blow me away. And Like, I'm still watching Westworld. I have no idea why. I mean, it's just because there's nothing else. I mean, I've seen it all now.
You know exactly why. Watch. By the time this thing's over, you'll have watched all those seasons of Walking Dead that you got out from.
I probably will have to, yeah. But, no, the only reason I'm still on Westworld is I freaking love Tessa Thompson. So, that's about it.
Are they showing a lot of boobs on that show this year?
No, they're not doing as much robot sex.
They got away from that. That's what built their whole show. It's almost like I wonder if those chicks were same as like Khaleesi, where the show got big enough that they're like, yeah, we're not going to do those scenes anymore.
Well, all those women have become huge stars. Like Dandy Newton has done a bunch of stuff, and Tessa Thompson was Valkyrie. I mean, they're big. So
yeah.
All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And, man, we got a lot to get to today, but we also got a lot of guests. So if we don't get to it all today, then tomorrow's pretty much going to be, the same thing.
All right. We'll talk to Matt Rauch from Banshee on the other side of this thing. I got to tell you about TGS Insurance. And they've been saving our listeners huge amounts of money on their home insurance. If you're looking for a way to cut some financial corners right now, it's a great way to do it. You probably don't even know what you're paying for your homeowner's insurance right now, and that could be a big mistake because I didn't know what I was paying for my homeowner's insurance. And then I looked into it, and it's like, oh, boy, I was paying way more than I needed to. And it was so simple. It took a text message. I didn't have to go sit in anybody's office, which, by the way, all those offices are closed right now anyway. So you can save money without ever leaving your house. Text the word money to 232323. They'll reply back and ask for your address. You send that in, boom. You'll get a full quote and proposal with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. The average customer is saving $900 per year. I saved even more than that. Guys, it is worth it to check out. TGS Insurance, open right now. Text the word money to 232323 and start saving today.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the
Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, what the hell?
Ain't this some sh**?
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Oh, I'm in a glass case of emotion.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Well, producer Nick is at the studios, but we're out all over town. And very excited about our next guest. It's been a long time. And was going back and forth with Matty Rauch this weekend. And the thing is, there are so many really talented actors that give us so much joy that can't work right now. So he's locked up like the rest of us. So wanted to have him on, catch up, see how he's doing. What's going on, Matty?
Hey, Fred. Hey, AJ. How are you guys? Great to be back.
We're doing good, man. How you doing, brother? Long time.
I'm good. It's, strange time. Strange times indeed. Very scary. But I'm doing my best. We're okay here in New York so far. Just trying to stay healthy, stay sane,
Obviously, I'm guessing you haven't left New York since this thing started, but what is everyday life like there right now? I mean, are there still people who are running around on the streets, or is everybody kind of figured out, okay, this thing's real, and everybody's just staying in their place?
I think that people have, I think with, 4,000 or 5,000 people have passed away from this in New York now, and I think people understand how scary and real it is. The New York is not the city that you would recognize. I mean, it's the only way to really contextualize it is it's like a sci-fi movie. It's like you woke up in some Danny Boyle movie or I Am Legend. I mean, the streets are empty. There's very few pedestrians. The people who go out are wearing masks. Everybody stays away from each other. I really only leave to go to the grocery store, take a walk, check on my car, things like that. I did go out with one of my best friends who lives a few blocks away from me today, and we actually threw a baseball from a distance, which is sort of a perfect thing to do in this environment. We had a chat. We stayed 6 or 10 feet away from each other. We threw a ball. It felt real good. It was a beautiful spring day. But we got a lot of looks from people who were like, you know, you should go home. So people are taking it very, very seriously here in New York, as well they should. I hope they're taking it everywhere very seriously. I hope people where you are staying home, because apparently it works and it seems to be working slowly. So,
yeah, I've been complaining because people aren't, most people are, but there's still a lot of people that aren't. And, you know, we're not going to get rid of this thing until we all do what we're supposed to. So.
No, we're not. I mean, I'm not going to come on and preach on your show, but I hear stories about people going to rallies and big services with lots of people, and I just think it's I honestly just want to encourage everyone who's listening to your show to stay home. Just stay home. It will be all right if everybody stays home for a few more weeks. We can beat this thing, but if a few bad apples can really spoil it for the whole country, frankly, and I hope people stay home. You know. Meanwhile, we can talk about sports and everything else we want to talk about.
Yeah, I want to get. We've had half of our shows been making fun of Florida churches, so that ought to.
Clay Burton's. I wasn't sure where you guys sat. You know, it's a very important. We want to be careful about what we say to the right people. These guys in the Florida churches are just out of their minds. I mean, just pray at home. If your God is everywhere, then you can pray at home. You don't need to go to the church. Just stay home and pray. That's your thing.
Yeah, I wish
we could
just tell them Clay Burton's going to come get them if they come outside.
Listen, man, I ain't going anywhere. You think I'm going to get on a plane tomorrow? No way.
Obviously, with all these people in, and people are watching TV at all-time highs, have new people been discovering Banshee and reached out to you about it and talked about the show?
For all your listeners out there who have not seen Banshee, here's the shameless plug of the day. Banshee is streaming on Amazon Prime. All four seasons are available on Amazon Prime. If you have an Amazon subscription, you can watch Banshee, all 38 or I think it's 38 episodes, 40 episodes, something like that. And, yes, there has been some renewed interest. It's kind of all over the world. So, like, my Instagram, my Twitter, a little bit of Facebook, people are definitely watching it on there. And so, if you haven't seen Banshee, check it out. If you have seen it and you're interested in watching it again, it's a good time to do it. I'm watching a lot of things on streaming TV myself. So.
Yeah, we've talked about that show a lot, and we talk about how often shows reach a point where they probably should have ended and then they didn't, and then you got a couple extra seasons that you didn't. And there's no
wasted
episodes.
I feel like we've had
episodes.
This conversation before, guys. I mean, you and I, we all agree about this. I wish it had gone on. I know you guys do too. You guys were early adapters of Banshee. You were loyal and wonderful fans of the show, and we were all so grateful to you guys. I wish it had gone on for a couple of more years. It was a hard show to make. The logistics were very, very complex. I think the writers felt a little bit like they had come to the kind of an end of a story, and there were a lot of logistical things involved. And so, unfortunately, they chose to end it. It's not like it got canceled. I think it was just they chose to do it,
And I think it might have been for the best, because there were no
– maybe.
It never got to that. It never got to where, that show, you can watch every episode, and there's not any wasted episodes. It is just – it's an action-packed show. There's never any problem moving the story along, or you never watched an episode and went, well, nothing really happened. I mean, to me, makes it so great.
Right. I don't think Jonathan Tropper, who created the show, would mind if I told you this. He did say to me as we were getting close to wrapping the final season, he did say to me, we were talking about why and how and the logistics of it and how it all worked, and he said that he really didn't want to be one of those shows that made another season and people said, oh God, if they'd only not made that terrible fifth season, remember that terrible season they made. And so we went out with a bang. If you leave them wanting more, then people are going to stay fans of the show. I guess that's a good way to think about it. And the fact that I want to do it more and that you guys want more is, to me, is a good sign for the show. So, we're very proud of what we made. I wish there had been 100 episodes, but it wasn't in the cards. So maybe next time. Every time I talk to Jonathan, I say, come on, man, let's do a movie. Let's do a reboot. Let's do a prequel. Let's do a sequel. I don't think it's in the cards, but I'm totally available. If anyone out there from HBO or Cinemax is listening, I'm totally available for that.
Well, not right this minute, but maybe after all this is over.
Maybe like in August or September, right?
Yeah. So, well, talk about what you've been doing. I know you after Banshee, you started doing, or I shouldn't say started doing, you went back to doing a lot of stage theater. How quickly did they shut that down in New York? And what's your, I mean, before this COVID thing hit, how was your career going?
My career's been great. You know, it's we're basically free agents. You know, you work on a show and then that show ends and you try to get another job. I've been working in the theater since before I was working at TV. And so I have done a bunch of theater over the last few years. But since Banshee ended, I've done, I think, like 10 or 11 other TV shows, just a few episodes here and a few episodes there. I did a number of episodes of a show on Netflix called Chambers, which didn't really pan out. And I did some Chicago PD and I did some Blue Bloods and I, you know, things like that. And I did do a bunch of plays, a couple of Broadway plays, a couple of big Shakespeare roles, things like that. I was in the middle of rehearsing a play that was going to be in Los Angeles when this all went down. And we were rehearsing in New York, and we were going to go to L.A. for just the technical rehearsals and then to open up. And about 4 days before we traveled, we were told the show was canceled. The theater that we were working at is strangely owned by L.A. County. So when they limited gatherings to, I think it was 200 people or something like that, we were immediately shut down. So we were canceled. And as you said, when I came on, I mean, every actor in America is out of work right now. You know, it's not like I'm worried about what this person's doing or what that person is doing. There's nobody working. So, you know, I'm just waiting for this all to end so I can go back to work. I'd really like to go back to work, frankly. I like working.
There's a lot of people would say, oh, well, you know, don't feel bad for these actors. They make good money when they're doing it. And which in a way is
true.
Well,
that's true, but you got to get the jobs to do it. I mean, right. You know, frankly, there are a lot of actors out there, and like there are, you know, just because there's more shows on TV doesn't mean there aren't more actors. Everybody wants to be on a TV show, and
well,
the money
also,
is pretty good.
You got to think about all these, like, the costume designers and the people who work, like the stage hands.
Oh,
that are,
yeah.
Those people don't
Everybody,
have a
bankroll. You're talking about, you know, 10 or 11 different unions. You know, electricians, drivers, costumers, caterers, camera people, assistant directors. There's a ton of people, travel coordinators, production coordinators, line producers. There's an immense number of people that go into making a TV show. I would say on every episode of Banshee, for example, we probably had, I'd say, 150 people worked on that episode in some indirect way. And that's an enormous amount of jobs. It's an enormous amount of revenue for the economy. The budget for these shows is very, very high. It's very expensive to make them. It's obviously very lucrative to make them, but people wouldn't keep making them. But it's a big business, and now there's a lot of people out of work right now. And this is, you know, look, don't cry me a river. Everybody in America is out of work right now. So, you know, it's a very, very difficult time. I don't really know what to say about it other than you guys just sort of hunkered down. Maybe this is our generational test or something, you know?
Yeah, it sure feels like that. I want to ask you one more thing about, because when you were doing Banshee, you guys were all over social media. You were way ahead of the curve on that. We've talked about that before. Do you still keep in touch with everybody? And was it kind of cool to see Lucas Hood become Homelander and have all that success?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this. I think the last time I was on the show, I remember talking to you guys about this. It was a very, very tight group of people, very tight cast and crew. And I've worked on a lot of shows where people are friendly and people are not friendly and people like each other and whatever. But generally, my business tends to be sort of transient. You know, you work for a few weeks or a few months or a few years with someone and then you never see them again. The Banshee people, for the most part, are still in touch. In fact, I texted Matt Servito today because it's his birthday. Happy birthday, Matt Servito. He's a very old man today. We're very much in touch. You know, I saw Anthony when The Boys premiered in New York. We got together and had a few drinks when he was in New York. So, you know, we're all still friendly. I'm in touch with Ulrich. I'm in touch with Chris Coy. I'm in touch with Tom Pelfrey. I'm in touch with Greg Utanis and Jonathan Tropper and some of the assistant directors. And I, you know, we all try to get together and stay in touch. It's a very, very tight group. So, yes. And, you know, it was the reason we were all on social media was because of our producers who were very early, early adopters of Twitter. And we used it to our advantage. I'd like to, here's another plug. Banshee is still the highest rated show ever on Cinemax. How's that?
Oh, it's so great.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah. And if it,
how are you guys? How's Texas treating you? Everything okay down there?
Well, it's you know, it's different for us. We're on lockdown, but we figured out how to do the show from home. So we're still operating. And, you know, it's been kind of fun between this and sort of putting some poker tournaments together for people. We've tried to keep things as normal as possible. So it's been,
you were going to send me that link. You should send me the link to the download. I'd love to get on one of your poker tournaments. It'd be really fun to do that.
I
don't know if we ever talked about this, but I'm a bit of a poker player myself. So every time I'm in Vegas, I look for you.
Well, I'm playing those over 50 tournaments, so that's a little beyond.
That's why you're not finding them.
Well, yeah, I'll have to check because I did send you an email last night that had a couple of attachments and all the details for.
I saw that email, but there were two attachments, but the third attachment was not there. So feel free to. I'd love to try to join up on that thing. That'd be great.
I will. Yeah, we're doing a little poker. I'll plug something. We're doing a little poker tournament on Saturday for $60, where we're taking $10 of it. It's going to go to a couple of local charities that are feeding kids and people who can't afford it right now, and the rest of it's going to go to the winners. So that's all on sportsmap.com.
Count me in.
All right,
send me an invite.
I'll send you the link as soon as we go to break.
Charitable poker sounds great. So,
all right.
Now, do we get to talk about Bill O'Brien? Can we talk about the crazy trade? I mean, or is it just too much now?
Oh, it's too much for us. It's too much. He's a moron, is what he is. He's a moron. The way that your Twitter feels about Donald Trump, that's how I feel about Bill O'Brien.
Well, okay, good. I'm glad we understand each other.
All right, buddy. Well, we really appreciate the time, and let's keep in touch. I'll send you that stuff, and you know, if you're playing, say hello to everybody who's on the chat, because there's a lot of big fans of yours down here, and a lot of Banshee fans, and I would say about 90% of our audience has watched the show. So,
I can't tell you how much I appreciate you having me on again. It's really good to hear your voice. And you guys have been so generous, and I was looking forward to this all day, and I'm looking forward to next time. And I just want to wish all your listeners health and safety, and everybody stay home and watch reruns of NFL games if you need to. But everybody stay safe and stay healthy, and I think we'll all get through this. I really am grateful to you guys for having me on. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, buddy.
And that's Matt Roach. We'll talk to you again soon, bud.
All right. Take care.
All right, let's go to break. We will take a very short break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Jerry Bowe says, dang, talk about a genuine guy. That was cool. You know, we first met him, over the air. It was funny because he's such a badass in that show.
Yeah,
and yet he is just one of the sweetest human beings you'll ever meet. I mean,
yeah,
he's just
genuine,
a good
dude.
Good dude. Yeah, so that was fun to catch up. And Jesse says, degenerate level 1,000 playing the 4 p.m. game. Listen to that awesome interview and, quote, working. That guy needs to be a weekly regular. He's always a great guest. He was for a while. That was the thing. You guys who are new to the show missed out. Like, the last year of Banshee, he was on every week with us talking about the episodes.
Yeah, yeah, it was a really cool, and it wasn't like, you know, one of us knew him. I literally tweeted at him and said, hey, you want to come on our show? And he DM'd me, and he started coming on our show every week. I mean, try doing that with one of the guys in Ozark. I mean, it's just a really cool thing.
And, that's what was cool about it at the time, is they were so interactive. And then the show started taking off, really, I don't know if it was season three, maybe. And, you know, he had come on relatively early, like one of his first episodes, I think it's season two. And even as he got bigger and bigger, he would always come on the show. So, and I forgot to tell him that I remember his Chicago PD episode, and I was like, hey, man, hopefully he's going to be on Chicago PD. And then he was on the next episode, and then not so much. Oh, man. That's hey, can I do a PSA real quick?
Sure.
Because, you know, part of Twitter every afternoon now is people bitching about Trump's press briefings. And, oh, I can't believe he said this guy's this and this guy's. Can I just tell you guys the same thing I tell you about the show? If you hate the show that much, don't listen. If you hate what Trump's going to say so much, why are you watching?
Well, I think it's a little bit different than the show, because the show is obviously for entertainment purposes. This is like, I mean, it's a,
well,
it's
that's
our government
what he is.
It's our government giving a press conference supposedly on the state of what's going on with this. So I do think that it's a little bit different.
But by now, shouldn't you have realized that's not what you're getting?
Yeah, but you still hope for some kind of news. And I kind of stopped watching once Dr. Fauci got out of there, because that guy seemed like he knew what was going on. And as soon as they were done with him, I was like, well, listen, I'm not learning anything from Jared Kushner. So I'm pretty much out on these things now. But I still understand why people watch, just in case they get some sort of new news.
I think you would all be doing yourself a favor to just not watch it. I honestly do, because you're not going to get anything. And if you
just
do,
listen to this
go
show
back
instead.
Exactly. Go back and watch it later if he says something that's actually meaningful, or if somebody there says something that's actually meaningful. Because half of Twitter is, oh, I can't believe this guy said this, and the other half is defending him.
Right.
And it's like, you know,
it starts
on
up every
I mean,
time.
Hey, but his ratings are way up.
Tremendous. He's the biggest on Facebook. He's number one.
They're, you know, they're right there. They beat The Bachelor, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, I think you're going to drive yourself crazy. And then to sit there and bitch about it on Twitter, which, as I look, I've got like three friends tweeting stuff out. Yeah, come on, guys.
Stop being friends with those people, Fred.
I'm getting there. I'm getting there. So, all right, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. I just quit making the damn virus political, please. That's all I ask. We have to make everything political, though. So
everything is political. You know that.
There's absolutely no chance of that. apparently, in Mexico, they're starting to get rumors around there that they might shut down things, and that non-essentials.
Wait, what do you mean? Are they not shut down yet?
That, well, to the point of, like, not having beer. I mean, they've
that'd be serious.
Alcoholic beverage production was added to the list of non-essential industries. So guess what's happening? Everybody is hoarding all the beer they can.
I bet. Boy, that is drastic. I feel like, honestly, if they said, okay, we're going to stop making booze, we're going to close the liquor stores, wouldn't you want to have more hard booze than beer?
Yeah,
I would
too. I think, like, I mean, I love beer, but if I was like, okay, you're not, this is the only, whatever you buy at the liquor store today or at the store today, that's all the booze you're going to have for the next year, I think I'd have to go with hard liquor.
Yeah, well, you also have an entire refrigerator full of beer that will last you a few months too.
Well, that is true. I think, it probably lasts me through the year, but if I didn't have that and I just had to decide, okay, this is all I'm going to have, I think I'd rather have a good stockpile of whiskey, because it'll last me longer.
Yeah. Fortunately, I have both. So
yeah, me too. I'm good on both. I'm good on all ends. But luckily we're not stuck in a country that's talking about doing that. But at least yet.
Yeah. Well, like I said, hopefully we'll be. Hopefully we'll get past this soon. Sed says, bleep the state of Texas unemployment agency can't get online or over the phone and been calling 50 plus times a day. Oof. Well, good luck with that, man. I mean, you would think they'd be set up for that, but
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people in that situation. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Do not go anywhere. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.